Now, whilst phobias might not necessarily be rational, at least you're awake when you're experiencing them. The dark, dreamy, nocturnal sphere can be very frightening, as anyone who's had a nightmare can tell you. But what can nightmares tell us about someone's mental health? To find out, I tracked down a nightmare expert.
My name is Katja Valli. I work at the University of Skövde in Sweden and the University of Turku in Finland. Nightmares are defined as emotionally negative, dysphoric dreams that lead to an awakening from sleep.
And what is actually going on in the brain when we have a nightmare?
Nightmares typically emerge from rapid eye movement sleep, which comprises about 20 to 25% of all sleep and is more prominent towards the morning hours. In rapid eye movement sleep, our brains are highly active, and especially the limbic areas, the emotional centers of the brain, the amygdala, even more active than during wakefulness. And these emotional centers of the brain, their activity during REM sleep could easily correlate with the emotional content of dreams and especially the negative content of nightmares. Another thing that happens during REM sleep is that the prefrontal areas of the brain, where we have our rational thinking and logical reasoning, but also emotion regulation, those areas are less active during rapid eye movement sleep than during wakefulness. So when the emotional centers are highly active, the centers that help us regulate our emotions, and especially our negative emotions, those centers are actually not active during REM sleep, suggesting that this is kind of like an emotion regulation problem in nightmares.
And do we know why we get nightmares in the first place? What's their cause?
Nightmares can be roughly divided into two different types. One is idiopathic. They occur without any triggering event, versus then post-traumatic nightmares that occur after a person has been exposed to a stressful, life-threatening event. But why nightmares overall occur, as well as why do we have dreams in the first place, is still a mystery to science.
So who is most likely to get nightmares?
About 3 to 5% of the population have nightmares more than once a week, and maybe about 30 to 40% have nightmares occasionally, once a month or so. And factors that can affect having nightmares might be, of course, traumatic experiences that result in post-traumatic nightmares, stressful life situations. We might have personality traits that make us prone to get nightmares. People who are kind of open-minded, trusting, vulnerable, might more easily get nightmares than people who have harder boundaries.
And do factors like age and gender make a difference?
Age and gender both seem to make a difference in a sense that women typically report more nightmares than men, especially in young adulthood. But in childhood, there really doesn't seem to be a sex difference between boys and girls. And by late adulthood, let's say by the age of 55 or 60, men have actually caught up with females on the frequency of nightmares. So especially young women report plenty of nightmares, while young men least nightmares.
So does that suggest that something's going on during puberty then, if there's no difference in childhood?
That is a very good question. In fact, in our group, we have hypothesized that sex hormones might have something to do with the frequency of nightmares. So that high levels of testosterone, which are typical for young men, might actually be protective of nightmares. And as the secretion of testosterone decreases with age in men, they actually start to get more nightmares. However, there are some studies that have not found this increase in nightmares with age. So we still have to be careful about saying that age affects the frequency of nightmares.
Can having nightmares tell us something about a person's mental state generally?
if I would take a single nightmare from a single individual, I wouldn't be able to say much about the person's mental or physical health. But if we look on the population level, people who report nightmares more often, they also have more often depressive symptoms or other mental health problems, such as anxiety disorders. Nightmares also correlate with psychotic disorders like schizophrenia. So on a population level, there is a correlation, but a single dream from a single individual really cannot be used to tell us anything about that particular individual's mental health.
And what treatments are on offer?
Both for post-traumatic and for idiopathic nightmares, there's a technique called imagery rehearsal therapy, which is relatively effective. The idea is to make a new version of the nightmare. So change the dream in any way the dreamer wants, write down the new version or tell the new version to a therapist, and then start practicing the new version in your imagination, especially before bedtime. And the idea here is that the nightmare has left a trace into our long-term memory banks, and we cannot erase that memory. But we can try to create a new competing memory that is more recent. And now when you fall asleep and the nightmare begins to evolve, what is activated from the memory banks is the new changed nightmare. There are also other treatments, such as trying to become lucid in the nightmare, which means that when you are having a dream, you become aware that this is nothing but a dream, that you are actually sleeping safely in your own bed. But achieving lucidity is not an easy task for many people. So that is why my first kind of treatment of choice recommendation would be to try imagery rehearsal therapy.
Katia Vali there. And I couldn't resist waving the old "does cheese give you nightmares" myth under Katia's scientific nose, but it turns out it might just stink. Apparently, a 2005 study done by the British Cheese Board found that their 200 volunteers didn't link cheese with nightmares. But, full disclosure, this wasn't published in a peer-reviewed scientific journal. It's not a very well-researched area, but Katia did mention one study in which some people linked particular food substances, including dairy products, to bad sleep or disturbing dreams. But perhaps, says Katia, it could be eating a heavy, fatty meal before bedtime and the metabolic strain that causes, which could be leading to poorer sleep and hence bad dreams for some.